Let's stand, please, to Romans chapter 3. We're going down to verse 9. This is some tough scripture right here. And it tells us what we really are. I call this the photograph of the sinner. And it's the photograph of me and you before we were saved. And you wonder why sometimes some of the stuff gets to acting up wrong in you. You see what you were. And we inherited this from birth. But the grace of God can overcome all of it. Thank God for it. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 9, it said, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may be guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." You can be seated. Amen. Father, give us wisdom tonight. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the Word of God, to discern what's right and what's wrong. God, tonight, what you'd have us to have in our heart, lodge it there tonight that we might live as you desire for us to live. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Going back to Romans chapter 3, in verse 1, I want to read two verses to kind of get the setting of what we are. Paul is saying, "What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision?" That's a work of the flesh. And, what advantage did the Jew have? Is what he's asking. He said, "Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God," or the words of God. And we got the word through the Jew. But now we go down a little further in verse 9. He tells us tonight that there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, that they are all under sin. I was listening to a little newscast. I didn't see it, but I listened to a little newscast. It said where these folks is talking about in the writings and the dealings with these policemen. And it said, "We got bad cops." And we do have some, I am sure. We got some bad everythings, ain't we? Amen. And I got to looking and I thought, what do you think? We got bad people trying to take care of bad people. That's basically the whole society. One for the grace of God, no telling how bad I'd be. I see sometimes, even with the grace of God, how distraught I can become and how far I can get away from God quickly. It's a constant thing. And I thought about what some have said. And they talk about, the good, and a lot of people, you'd have them to think, they'd have you to think that they are good people. And sometimes you may even get the place you think you're good. But the Bible said there's none good. No, not one. Did I read that tonight? There's none good. There's none, amen, none good. And remember this, they came to Jesus one day and they said, "Good Master." Let's just turn over there and look at that for a moment. Matthew chapter 19. The fact is, tonight I want to see us for what we are. And we need to make sure that we are, that we believe what we are and take the Scripture's word for what we are. In Matthew chapter 19, in verse number 17, now I can paint a pretty picture of me, and you can paint a pretty picture of you. And if we sit here long enough describing all the good characteristics that we have, some of us wouldn't stay too long, but we could probably figure out some good things about us. And you may not convince me, and I may not convince you, but we could convince ourselves that we're good. But look what Jesus said in verse 17 of the 19th chapter of Matthew, 19:17. And He said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good." Did you get that? "There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Now I want to tell you something tonight. We're not, none of us any good. We're no count. It's by the grace of God, Paul said, that we are what we are. Go back to Romans for a moment. When we go back to Romans, I want to point out something in verse 9, or verse 10. The Bible said in verse 10, "As it is written," notice these words, "there is none." I want you to notice these three words, "there is none." In this case, He said, "there is none righteous." First one. The second one, the Bible said, is in verse 11, "There is none that understandeth." The third, "there is none," is, "there is none that seeketh after God," in verse 11. The fourth one, in verse 12, "they are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable." Then He says, "there is none that doeth good." Now, that pretty well plain gets it in plain speech, don't it? That there's not much of us except the grace of God. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, no telling where we'd be, what we'd be doing. Amen. I hear so many people brag about what they are and what they are doing. Amen. You get some of them and they're proud. Have you ever seen these? You can get out in public and sometimes see them. They got their little satchels in their cars. And they've been to about every door in the county. And they say, "Have you been saved?" And they'll say, and you know, you ask them what they're doing. They'll end up finally telling you that they're Jehovah's Witnesses. And they real seem to be proud of that. But you know, I've been witnessing for Jehovah for years. Jehovah's my Father. They don't have anything on me. They don't believe what you and I believe. They don't believe the Scriptures correctly. Jehovah's Witness, you run down and look, and next thing you know, somebody else is knocking on your door trying to give you some literature, and you say, "Who are you?" And they'll say, "We're of the Church of the Latter-day Saints." Well, I've been a Latter-day Saint for years. We're in the last days. The Lord's soon to come. You go to the grocery store or something, run into somebody, and you say, "Where do you go to church?" They say, "I go over to the Church of God." Well, I've been a Church of God for years. The Church is God's. Amen. He owns it. Well, you see another, and he don't believe the same thing as the Church of God, but he believes in baptism. He said, "I'm a Church of Christ." Amen. I've been a Church of Christ too. He's ahead of it. Amen. So little old titles don't mean nothing. We look at all those things. But what are you on the inside? That's what makes the difference, isn't it? Amen. Now, just thinking about this. In the Word of God, we have prophetic messages. God sends prophecy to open up the eyes of people. Matter of fact, one of the greatest places I've ever seen the prophetic message used, of course, I see it from all over and all through the Old Testament. But what about John on the Isle of Patmos? God showed things which is to be hereafter. That's prophetic. God sent a message. And it's included in the whole book of Revelation. And it also teaches us, amen, the death, burial, and resurrection, because Christ is the center of that book. He sure is. Then we think about sometimes personal messages. Have you ever seen that? You remember the personal message I'm thinking about right off on top of my head is Nathan. Nathan went down to the king one day, walked up before the king and said, "Thou art the man." That's a personal message. We can have a prophetic message. We have a personal message. And then we can find other messages in the Word of God. Here's a powerful message. Amen. When old Belshazzar was having a feast, and the handwriting got on the wall, and you remember how it was? He said he'd been weighing the balances and found wanting. That's a personal message. Amen. The strong message. And a great message. Now we get to looking right here in Romans, and God has given us a plain, powerful, simple message tonight in verses 9 down through 20 that we are no good. Did we not have Romans tonight like it is read here, that we would know that we're lost and done without God. This is called the gospel, brother. That's what we preach. We preach the gospel up and down our country. We sure do. God sends men to preach to men. He sends bad men that have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And He makes some good men to preach, amen, to other bad men. And when you think you're something, and I get to looking at it, and I say sometimes, "Lord, why do you want to even use me? Why do you want to use me?" Now, I see some preachers, I think they just kind of look up and say, "Now, Lord, you know I'm right on top of the line for you." But I've never felt that way in all the 50 years of preaching. I've never felt like I was top notch. Amen. You ever get to where you think you're top notch? You're one of God's best supreme men? Amen. You're in trouble. Are you with me? Think about that. Now, I don't know about you. I've never thought too much about this. But we have a president of our country, and they have security men. And he's got what they call a cabinet. These are highly trained men or highly wise men, supposed to be. And sometimes they're not always, but they're there. And it must be an honor. I don't know if I was in that kind of world. I haven't been. If I was in that kind of world, I feel like I would probably enjoy being a Secret Service agent or a protective service agent for the president or something. That's a high honor, isn't it? Amen, it would be. Amen, but lay your life on the line like that. But I'm going to tell you something. I've never got the place in my life that I thought I was one of the best of God's men. I want to stay at the place that I know this, that I'm saved by the grace of God, and God can use me. God can use you. God will use you, and God will use me if I find my place where I need to be. And I'm enjoying that. I tell you right now, I went to bed last night, and I listened to preaching and singing and music and godly music. I'm talking about good music. I get tired of this old junk that they call gospel music. And amen. I do contemporary. I mean, and God knows my heart. I know down here in Cornelia, they try to get a little religious on Sunday in WCOE, and I appreciate the little righteousness that they get. But on Sunday, it meets every brand. You listen one minute, and boy, I'm telling you what, you're on the threshold of shouting with some of the good songs that they have. And then the next one, you think you're in a honky-tonk, and they're singing to you or your wife. Really is. It's the way it is. And that's contemporary. And I think, Lord, but I went to bed last night. There's a singing. Next thing you know, they said we want to have a message down by Brother Sammy Allen. And I listened to Brother Sammy Allen up in North Carolina. He is going to, now, he's feeble. Y'all know Sammy Allen. He's pretty feeble now. His health's getting bad. And I had a hard time understanding some of it. But he used to be able to jump around and shout and quote Scripture like I have never heard. I've heard others quote it, but Sammy could preach it and stand there and tell it, and before you ever got to it, before you ever got to the first reference he'd give you, he's done on the third or fourth one. You couldn't open your Bible fast enough to find what he is quoting, and he quoted word for word. And I went to sleep with him preaching last night, and I said, "Glory to God. Amen!" It's a wonder I hadn't got up and tried to help him out, but I was tired. I'm telling you. But I said, these old men that's been coming through the country, They're loaded. Their guns are loaded. They've been preaching the gospel. They're wore out. And they're leaving the scene and they're going to be gone. These are good men that God took bad men and made good men out of. Amen. The only good in me tonight is God. There's nothing good about me. Somebody said, oh, all God's men are good. No, they're bad men made good by the grace of God. Grace makes you better. Amen, ladies. The grace of God will make you a better woman. The grace of God will make you a better man tonight. The grace of God can keep you where you need to be. Oh, God, help me never to climb up on the ladder of success and make people think that I'm somewhere that I'm not. But notice what he says here. Let's just look at this scripture. I'm not going to have time to get down to all these, but he just said in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now remember, he's talking about, and you got to keep this in mind, verse 9, it's proved both Jews and Gentiles. We have it now that there they are all under sin. Now he's identifying tonight Jews and Gentiles. It's two classes of people. Actually, it's several races. A Gentile can be several different nationalities. A Jew is a nationality. Some people say that it's a religion. And they call it the Jewish religion. You hear them say that, don't you? But the Jewish is a nation. It's a group of people. Amen. That God set aside. But you got the Gentiles. And brother, you got all nationalities of people. You got all races of people. And God said, I put them all in the same bucket. And the Bible said the Jew and the Gentile, that includes every person on the face of the earth. Every race. You hear me? I do not tonight think that my race is superior to any other race. I do not feel tonight that any other are inferior to me. I believe tonight that all men are God's creation. I believe God looks at every man different than man looks at man. But then I look at this and I see how differential that they become in the races. And I say they need the more of the grace of God. I don't believe you can be born again saved by the grace of God, loving God, and hate any race. I believe you may look it down at certain things of what they do. Amen. I know some white folks right now wouldn't trust with anything I got. And I don't hate them, despise them. I just stay away from them. Amen. I wouldn't back them up the woodshed and say, get anything you want. They'd take it all. You with me? And I don't look down on the race. I don't look down on people. And I want to use this tonight. The Bible said none of us are good. He goes on to say in verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There's none righteous in verse 10. Did you know if you leave me alone and take me out of any spiritual influence, take the Word of God away from me, and I'm just going to have to go on what I've memorized and what I've known and give me no spiritual influence whatsoever, that I'd be a wreck in just a short time. That's why it's important for God's people to stay at the house of God. That's why it's important for every Christian to read a Bible every day of their lives. That's why it's important for every Christian to pray and pray and pray. Amen! I like to listen to them old programs. I got to listen to a program yesterday and they have prayer. You ought to try this sometimes. You can't catch yourself a praying enough. But this old preacher's a praying and he is a calling on God. And he said, this is our prayer time. And he started praying and I started praying with him. And I got in the middle with him. Amen. He didn't even know where I was. But I was in the middle of him. And brother, I got heaven come down over there on my soul. And I got to walking around and to praying in the house. It's a wonder I hadn't tripped over everything. I had myself a time. He is on the radio and didn't even know he is talking to me. But you take me out of that environment. Take me out of the church environment. Take me out of the Bible environment. Take me out of prayer. And let me hear nothing but the world. Let me hear nothing but the trash this world has to offer. And it won't be long, brother. I'll be in terrible shape. I know I'm telling the truth. You got to have that influence. Amen. And the devil's trying to see it. He gets all that away from us. He's been having a field day. This has probably been the worst time for spirituality of any year I've seen in ages. We got people right now, and I know this to be true because I talked to other people. We got people now that don't even want to go to church anymore because of the little time that they had out of church. Of course, all I can say about that is they might not have had the good to start with. God's people seem to get hungry for it. Amen. These people right now don't want to go back to church. Right now. Think it's too early. It's because the devil has tried to hoodwink them, get them out. Let me tell you, you're going to have the house of God. You're going to have the Word of God. You got that. This is a simple message, but you said, I know all that. Why'd you tell me? You forgot it. I'm reminding you again. I'm punching you with it. But he said here, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. It is not in your being. It is not in your concept of living tonight to seek after God. You come in this world seeking everything else but God. It took the Holy Ghost to get your attention. And after you've even been saved, it's still not your desire to seek after God. That's why everything else can take its toll upon you. The influence of the world is so strong. The influence of your friends is so strong. The influence of riches and prosperity. Amen. Is so strong. That's why you need to read your Bible constant. I keep challenging with it. He said, they are all going out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. When you get home tonight, look at that word all. It's mentioned several times down through there. They are all going out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. If we just left you alone, and you left the Word of God alone, and you left the church alone, there wouldn't be much good left in you. Since we was closed up and shut up, I had a lot more opportunities, I guess, to read the Scriptures and study. And I appreciate that. I've got things right now that I ain't getting to preach them right now because God ain't letting me do it. But I've got things that I'm going to get involved in here soon. But I'm saying this. I caught myself in just a Sunday or two getting slack. Oh, preacher, I ain't got slack. Don't lie to me. First Sunday like to kill me not to have service here. First Sunday night it bothered me pretty bad. First Wednesday night we didn't have service, it bothered me. But I kind of got a little adjusted to it. And the devil convinced me that it was a good thing for us. He convinced me that we were doing the proper thing. And so Sunday comes along and Wednesday comes along again and Sunday comes along And Wednesday comes along again, and next thing you know, you're thinking, well, when are we going to have to start back? Not when can we, but when are we going to have to start back? Made me think. Now, I know I'm talking plain, but I know good and well that all this run through your head. You know why? If I could put you under a microscope and you could put me under a microscope, I may have bumps and humps and places you don't have. But if you just get all that sorted out, you'd find out that I was made of the same stuff that you are. So may remember the missionary come to see us. These boys will sit here and tell you this. We had a missionary. Missionaries don't get all the privileges that a lot of people get as raising kids and so forth. And was they all playing a video game or something? Yes. Had him in the basement playing a video game. And they was all hooked up in that video game. Look at that. And one of the boys, or I don't know which one it was, but one of us said, gotta hurry, we gotta go to church. He said, gotta go? You mean, you're not really excited about it? And I never have forgot that. In other words, y'all should have said, glory to God, we've got to go to church in a minute. And then we'll forget that. But he got to the place, I wonder when we need to try to start back. You know why? I was getting cold. I was studying, getting all that, but I needed that fellowship. You need that fellowship at the house of God. And then we'll forget the first Sunday we had it back. I'll tell you now, it's exciting. And the Sunday night we had the first Sunday night, it was exciting. First Wednesday night we had it back, it's exciting. And now, 2 or 3 weeks later, we're taking it for granted again. Understand what I'm saying? We ought to get our excitement. You know why? Because this flesh don't like this. This flesh don't like to be sit under and subjected to the preaching of the Word of God. But it's the Word of God preached to us that keeps us straight. And it's not the deep things of God that excites us. It's just plain preaching. Amen. I've said it many times. Jesus says, I don't tell you how many times I've said that in 50-something years of preaching. They don't tell you how many times I've said you must be born again. You need to be saved by God's grace. But did you know tonight, it still needs to be preached. It's not the deep things of God that we got to have. It's just the plain things of the Scriptures. Paul said here, there's none good. None of us. There's none righteous. There's none of us tonight would stay straight in a little short time if we didn't have the influence. Amen. You know what? If we had children, you know how some of the animals are, don't you? They'd have their offspring and then they run off and leave them. And there's certain ones that could do that. Most of them take care of them for a little while. But there's a time when they don't. Some of them leave their offspring right there. And they fend for themselves. But if we was had our kids and say, at 5 years old, we left them alone, they'd never get anywhere. And what keeps your kids straight is your restraint you have on them. Of course, many of them don't have many restraints today, and that's the reason they're knocking on windows and knocking them out and paying no attention. I think about these rights you have. Where's their mom and daddy at? Probably. Where are they at? I was watching the news, and one of my youngins is knocking out a window. I'll tell you right now, I'd get in my car, and wherever he's at, I'm going, I want you to know I make a show. Be his last window he'd ever get knocked out. Or, amen. You understand what I'm saying? Where are they at? They've been raised that way. Some of them's done told mom and daddy, we're going down there right tonight. And mom and daddy said, well, now you be careful, don't get hurt. It's because they have no restraints on them. And now we're living in a time, and I'm going to close it down. We're living in a time when our churches are not strong anymore. Amen. They're weak. Preachers won't preach. They let anything go. They allow anything to happen in the church. And there's no restraints even on the people of God. And therefore, they live any way they want to. Strong preaching will keep you out of trouble. Amen. Used to, when preachers would talk about, get up and preach the devil out of them. And that's not popular anymore. It wasn't so popular then, but it was more popular then than it is now. And that's actually the truth. That's what happens. You preach the devil out of them. Because that's what's in them, the devil. Understand? And we need the church and its influence. I need your fellowship, ladies and gentlemen. I can sit over there and listen to preachers. I can sit over there and read my Bible and sit over there and pray. But I've got to have your fellowship. I get thinking over there, I'll be all by myself, and I'm thinking there ain't too many in the world doing it, but I can come here and I'd have some fellowship with you. And when I just see you, you encourage me. Amen. And I hope when you see me, I encourage you to keep on keeping on. Ladies and gentlemen, this world needs to see somebody, more than one, that are trying to do right. We're all bad folks, but the grace of God makes us better. Amen. We're sinners saved by grace. Thank you for coming tonight. Heads bowed. Simple. This is what God wanted me to give you. I was going to give you something else tonight, but this is what the Lord wanted me to give you.